should I do, you think?
About what?
I don't really want to go back into government work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but shouldn't I find something to do? These wives don't do anything here. That's not me. This is not me.
I know.
I saw a notice on the bulletin board at the embassy for hat-making lessons.
You like hats?
I do.
No.
I do.
What is it that you really like to do?
Eat.
I know. And you're so good at it. Look at you. Now, how
growing
good you are.
In front of you.
Eating. It's something we're, like, really good at. Or at least some of us are. I just love that little clip to get us into. Welcome to Maundy Thursday. Let me start there. I'm really excited to be here with you tonight. My name is Carrie, and I'm the student ministry coordinator and prayer ministry coordinator here. And man, Maundy Thursday gets me really, really excited. So I'm really excited. I think I've said that 5 times, so I'm very excited to be here with you tonight to tell you more about this Maundy Thursday. And I thought that clip was really fun to open with because she gets so excited about food, and it's from this movie, Julie and Julia, and she pursues food. She pursues eating, and it completely like changes her life, and it changes a lot of other people's lives. And that's a really quick way to get into what Maundy Thursday is. It's celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's pursuing eating in a way that will change your life and the way that it changes a lot of people's lives. Like I said, I'm just so excited. So Maundy Thursday, the Lord's Supper, celebrating it, has been something that in my life has always had I've always looked forward to it in my life. And maybe it's because it's around food, right? A lot of us have some holidays that we get really excited about because maybe it's around food. But maybe it was because I got really excited that I got to come to church on a Thursday. Raise your hand if this is your first time. You don't actually have to raise your hand, but this might be your first time at church on a Thursday night. And we're really excited to be here. Or maybe it was my little kid self. I got really excited because I got to spend a lot of nights at church. You know, you got Thursday, you got Friday, you got Saturday, you got Sunday. There were all these things growing up that I got to go to at church. But I also was thinking about it, and I was like, I don't know, maybe I think it got really excited because it was this reflection, and it started to become really, really personal in my life. That's what this whole Holy Week is. It's a time where we take this reflection, and it becomes really personal. And there's something about reflection that I've just always noted gets me really excited. That it's been, I think, just that's just something in me that I really like to reflect. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about the way that my childhood, I spent a lot of pastime. If you've come to any, just even one of my sermons, you know that I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house when I was little. My grandparents had a significant impact on my life. And one of those ways that I think about the way that I spent time when I was at grandma's house was she had this scrapbook, okay? And this scrapbook was something that I spent hours laying on the living room floor in the sunlight, and I just would page through page after page. And it's something I still do at holidays. I'll like just sneak this out as we're like opening Christmas presents and just be like, let me just refresh my memory on what's all going on in there. If you go to the next slide here, there's a few pictures. It's pretty far away. But these are just some pictures in this scrapbook of my family. And it's this picture. It has like my grandparents' wedding in it. It has my dad when he was little, and it has houses that they lived in, and it has me when I was born, and it has hobbies that my grandpa did, and it just has this whole encompassing who am I and where did I come from. It got me so excited to reminisce and to look at these stories that some of them I was a part of, but others of them I wasn't even there, but it was so special to me. And that's my hope, and I noticed that as I like read the Bible then, is those are similar feelings that come up for me. When I start thumbing through the pages of the Bible, it's this reflection. There are these pictures that start to come up about the story of who I am and where I came from. And I invite you into that reading of the Bible as well, that I hope as you read through that, you get to start to build this storybook idea of who you are and where you came from. But sometimes, right, we look at the Bible and we're like, that's just one big old history book. That's not very fun to look through. But remember, I spent my pastime not reading history books. If that's you, good job. I spent my time looking at picture books. And so if you need to keep the kids' Bible right next to you as you're doing your Bible studies, by all means, that is still the glorious Word of God, and it is so good, it is so true. Have at it. They're really good at keeping pictures on every single page. And so that's my hope. That's where we're headed tonight, is to create this storybook reflection about who are we and where did we come from. And so specifically into this Maundy Thursday service, maybe this is why I'm so excited, because I get to give you personal experience coming from the Lord's table, maybe here on the next slide here, about the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to point myself out just for the fun of it. But here we are, me sitting at the Lord's table. So just know this is firsthand experience that you are getting here this evening. pictures, they're good. They're good to reflect on. But that was something in high school. We went to a youth gathering, but it was something that was meant to be remembered, right? The Lord's Supper, it's something for us to return back to. We dressed up as it. We took pictures in it because it has this really monumental factor on our life. This might be more of the picture that comes to your mind when you think of the Lord's Supper. But that's where we're headed tonight. That's what we're getting to talk about here is the Lord's Supper. And what I'm excited to do with you tonight is to take a little bit of a Bible study, to take a little bit of a reflection, to thumb through our storybook of where did we come from. And the thing about when you read the Bible, N.T. Wright puts it really well. I love the way he puts this. He says, when you study the Bible, two things are hopefully going to happen. One is you get an understanding. You get a deeper understanding of what's going on. But two, you get excited about the application of it to your life. That's my hope, that's my prayer for all of us in this room, that as we walk through Holy Week, as you learn more about what the Scripture has to say, that you have, yes, a deeper understanding of it, but two, that you get excited about the way that this affects your life. God is on the move today, and He is excited to share that with you. So our Bible reading opened today in the book of Luke. Luke is where we opened up to, and it's setting right here at the Lord's Supper. And it's where the disciples, they're gathered, and they're about to have a meal, and Jesus, he says these words. But we're going to get there, okay? When we do a Bible study, we're going to do some backing up and get some more of the context and where did this come from. So here we are. We're going to begin in Luke 22:1. And it reads like this. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. This is the context of what the Lord's Supper was happening in. This is the time frame. The Bible sometimes is really good at giving you time frames, and usually when it gives you a time frame, it's really important. And this factor is really important to understand, that the Lord's Supper was happen at the time of Passover. What is Passover? Is a really important question to ask. Passover was this really big celebration, an annual celebration that was around food. It was around families. Jerusalem was the city, and thousands of people every year, once a year, would come and they would gather to have Passover. But then we have to ask the question, why? Why were all these people coming from all over and doing this whole celebration, and what were they celebrating? So tonight, I'm excited with you. We're going to take our Bible, and we're right here about-ish in Luke. Here we are. And we are going to thumb back in the scrapbook and get a little bit more of a context of who did these people come from and where did they come from? Where did this Passover come from? And so we turn to the book of Genesis. And I put the words towards the beginning, God's promise his kids. It wasn't like the very first word of the Bible in the beginning, but we follow that same in Genesis. Towards the beginning, God promised his kids a great nation, all this land, and to be fruitful and to multiply. That's kind of the overarching story of Genesis. What was God doing at the very beginning of time? God was promising his kids really big things. Did you know that that's who God is? God is a God who promises really great, beautiful blessings upon his kids. And so we read that and it said, God said this, God promised this. And so then we ask the question, did he fulfill that promise? Is God somebody I can really trust? And so we turned the page. God promised some really big things. Is God a God who just says this, or does he do stuff? And then so we turned the page. And when we turn the page, we find out that God doesn't just say stuff, God does stuff. God shows up in the midst of this world, and it says, God's kids had many children and grandchildren. They multiplied and filled the land. They were becoming a great nation. They were filling the land. They were being fruitful and they were multiplying. God's promises were coming true. God is a God who not just says stuff, he does stuff. And they are beautiful blessings in our life. This is what was happening to God's kids. And so then we keep moving. This beautiful promise is coming to life. And we keep reading a little bit more. It says, but then. Don't you just get a little annoyed when the word but comes up? You're like, come on, we were doing so good. It says, but then, a new king, Pharaoh, came to power in Egypt. And in summary, he said, we must make a plan to stop God's kids from growing even more. This king of power here on earth, he had some problems with this. He was like, oh no, they're becoming a very great nation and I'm not sure I'm gonna have enough power over them. This sounds like a problem. And so what he does is he says, we must make a plan, and I highlight those words, we must make a plan to stop God. That's what's happening. God's intention of the world is going out in bountiful ways. And there's this idea that we better stop God's plan. What does God do with that? What happens when people want to stop God's plan? So we keep reading. This is what Pharaoh's plan was. He's like, I'm gonna stop God's kids, so this is what I'm gonna do with that. And it said, Pharaoh put God's kids into slavery. It was a terrible thing. He put them under really harsh labor and really harsh and strict laws and these rules. And God's kids didn't like that. Because God's kids weren't made for that. You weren't made for that. We aren't made for slavery. We aren't made for oppression. We aren't made to be suffered under by somebody else. We weren't made for that. And it made them uncomfortable, rightfully so. And so they cried out for help. God's kids said, I have a problem. They cried out. Who'd they cry out to? They cried out to God. And it said God heard them. When you take a Bible study, it's really important that when we stop back and we read some things, we ask, what is that teaching me about who God is? God's kids cried out, God heard. Our God is a God who listens. Our God is a God who hears. You see how we're building this story of who are we and where did we come from? This is the God of who we came from and where we came from. And when God heard them cry out, God remembered. He said, he remembered that I promised them a great nation, all this land, and to be fruitful and to multiply. I know it must be time for me to act. And sometimes when we read the word remember, we start to attach the word forget, right? We're like, oh, did God forget about his promises? No, God didn't forget his promises. Really what that could say when we say remember, he refused to forget. God made really big promises, and all the way through, God refuses to forget the promises that he made. And so it was time for him to act. His kids are suffering. His creation is not going as planned. God's about to act. And God acts in really big ways. As we turn the pages, we start to get into some plagues that God did in the world. God showed up in mighty ways through the use of his creation. And there are just, you could spend hours and days and years of your life learning more about what all that God did here. But in summary, what God said was, God said, enough is enough. No more suffering for my kids. No more hurting for my kids. Enough is enough, God said. What else are we learning about God? God is a God of justice. God is a God who says, I don't put up with slavery. I don't put up with oppression. That is the God that we have. And God comes out in really mighty ways. And he does all these plagues. And the final one that he does, and it's called the death of the firstborn son. And it's so heavy and it's so hard when we read about a God who that was his plan, was death of this firstborn son. But it all started back with, that's the way Pharaoh was planning to take over creation. He was going to kill off all these people. And God said, no, 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 that's not going to happen. But he said, I'm going to use the force back against you. And there was this death of the firstborn son. But God said, I'm going to keep my kids safe. Anybody who wants to be safe, anybody who wants to be protected from this is welcome in my safety. And this is where we get Passover. This is where we get to the very first Passover. It says, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions. And so he gave all these instructions about how this needs to happen, because what's going to happen is this death of the angel is going to come, but I'm going to make sure that you're safe, God said. I'm going to make sure that you're free from the slavery and you're free from the suffering. And so he gives these rules to his kids, and he says, from now on, this will be the first of the month. Each family will choose a lamb. You're going to sacrifice it. It needs to be 1 year old. It's going to make sure it's without any blemish. You're going to keep it really safe. And then on the 14th day of this first month, slaughter the lamb, and then you're going to take its blood and put it on the doorpost. That's going to be the sign. This is going to be your safety. These are a lot of rules. There's a lot more you can go into this, but the overall is that God's kids were in slavery, and God made a way to protect them and to keep them safe. And so we keep reading. And to the next line, it says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Jesus said, he says, this death will not touch you. This is the kind of God who we come from. This is the kind of God where we came from. It is a God who from the beginning said, this death will not touch you. And this is something for you to remember. Remember where we are in the scrapbook. We're near the very few fronts of the pages. This is what God's kids were going through. This death will not touch you. Remember this. And it's from that point on that God said, this is something worthy to remember, not just tomorrow, not just for the next day, but he said, every year from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. That is Passover. We are celebrating a God who delivered us from slavery. You are celebrating a God who brought you into freedom. Remember this, God said. Make it a big ordeal. Bring all these people, travel from miles, and they came to Jerusalem, right? And there are thousands and thousands of people gathered in this place. And every year, what they did to remember the Passover was they had a Passover meal. Within this Passover meal, it's known as the Seder meal. Seder is a word that means ordered. It's an ordered meal that you would have. So this is what the disciples were doing, okay? Once a year, you would gather to remember that God said, death will not touch you. To remember God delivered his people from death. That's what Jesus was gathering with his disciples to do. And how they were doing that was through the Passover meal and the Seder meal. Gets better. They have this Seder meal, okay? Ordered meal. This is what they were doing. At this meal, they had a table that would be full of this different kinds of food. One by one, you had a ceremony that you would go through and you would say a prayer, you would say a blessing, and you would pick up the certain food. And you would bless it, you would talk about what does it mean and remember a certain instant about it. That's what they were doing. They were gathered around food to pick it up, to eat it, and to remember a significant event in their life. It's important to understand that Passover was happening at the time of the Lord's Supper. So let's pick up where we left off in the Lord's Supper. So we come back, and this is what they're doing. However, before we get too far into that, we pick it up, and it says, the festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. Okay, that's where we left off, right, in the New Testament, the Passover was coming. And it says the leading priests and teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus. In other words, they were plotting again how to stop God. We read about that in the scrapbook, didn't we? There's already been a way that people were trying to stop God. And so we reflect back and what happened we just talked about, right? What happened when people were trying to stop God? God moved in mighty ways. And so we see it again. It shows up in this New Testament. People, again, they're trying to stop God. What happens? Jesus shows up in mighty ways. And it moves on. And this is where we find ourselves in our Bible reading for today. And it says, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. That doesn't sound very mighty, does it? Doesn't sound very powerful, does it? The apostles were some of his closest friends. And you want to say, Carrie, he had dinner with his friends. Sounds pretty mighty. And that's the way God came into the world. He came to turn it upside down in the way that he was going to take his power and his love and he was going to distribute it in the most upside down power of a way. And he comes and he sits at a table. You ever think about what it, like, just imagine yourself sitting at a table? That's, like, pretty personal. They can, like, spit on your food. You're in my personal bubble. You can, like, kick me under the table. Like, Jesus came and he sat and he got really personal with people. So he's sitting at this table. We're here at the Lord's Supper. This is what we're doing on this Maundy Thursday. We're celebrating what they were doing. So he gathers and he gathers them around this table. So here they are, they're sitting, and as they do it, they're doing the Passover meal. So here we are, we're back, gathered around the table. There's food, and we're going to pick it up, and we're going to remember certain things. And so as you would go through it, there was wine at this Passover meal. Remember, the Passover meal was established thousands and thousands of years ago. So they're here celebrating with this wine, with these herbs, with these bitters, and with this bread. So I want to teach you a little bit more about what isn't going on in the Passover, because it is absolutely fascinating. And like I said, I'm so excited to teach you about this. So in the Passover, they have this bread. And remember, it was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread that was taking place. Unleavened bread was something that it didn't have the leaven in it. And leaven is something that makes it rise. So it was this flat piece of bread because back in the Passover, they had to, as they were exiting and getting free, they had to go fast. They didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. That's what you remember in Passover. You were remembering that these people didn't even have time to wait, but they were delivered. And so they had this flat bread in remembrance of what these people were going through. And it's so funny because you start to learn more about how many pieces of bread did they have. They had 3 pieces of bread that they would gather around. And you start to think about that now and today, and you have the Father, and you have the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit represented in that meal. And then what they would do is they would take the second piece of bread that was right in the middle, the Son, that would have been the piece. They took this middle piece, they pick it up, and they would break it. They would wrap it in a white linen cloth, and they would hide it for the rest of the meal. At the end of the meal, the kids in the room, they would go and find it hidden. Doesn't that sound fun, kids, if you have to go find the hidden bread? That's what they went to do, and they found the bread because it was broken and it was gone, and it came back. And this is where we pick up in our Bible reading. Jesus picks up this bread that was broken and it was hidden, and it's now found again. And what he does is he picks it up and he gives thanks to God. And he broke it in pieces just like they would have done and gave it to his disciples instead. But he said, take this. This is my body given for you. Whoa. Jesus, I thought we were gathered here to celebrate something that was already in the past. It's already been done, and it's something thousands and thousands of years ago. God is moving in mighty ways. He takes this tradition, he takes this bread, he takes this ritual, and he adds new life, a new meaning to this. He breaks it and he gives it to them. This is my body broken for you. And the meal continues. And in the ritual custom, as the meal continued, there is another glass of wine that would be represented. And as you took out the wine, you would bless it. And as you drank it, what you were going to remember was you were going to remember the sacrifice of the blood of the lamb. Remember the doorpost that we had to sacrifice the lamb and we had to put it on our doorpost, and that said, you're safe now. You are delivered from death now. That's what they were remembering. And Jesus, he steps into this meal though. And he says this, this cup is the new covenant between God and his kids, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. This is the new promise, the new covenant. You see, the covenant of the Old Testament, there's a little bit of works that had to go on. It was a little bit of, right, we had to put the blood on the doorposts, and later we got the Ten Commandments, and there were things that, like, you had to do these things, and it's all, and then we'll be a little bit okay. Now Jesus, he steps in, he says, this is the new covenant, the new thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my blood to make sure that you are forever free. You are forever free from the slavery. Are you forever free from the death of this world? When I see the blood, God said, death will not touch you. And that's what Jesus was bringing into the Lord's table. At the Lord's Supper, he picked up the bread, said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Remember how you're already really good at gathering and eating food and remembering what that means? I want you to keep doing that. But he brought in this whole new way of life. This is the new way, the new covenant. And we go on to the next slide here. In Romans 3, it puts it in a really well way. It says that the God setting things right to be read about. Remember, we have that in our scrapbook. God, he was setting things right in the world, has become Jesus setting things right for us. All of these pictures, all of these pictures that we're looking at, they're all just images, though. They're pointing us to something greater. They're pointing us to the one, to Jesus. But you read that and you're like, wait, did God not have it out for us? It's God and Jesus is better. No, remember Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is also God. And then you read that and you're like, God, who was setting things right from the beginning, was always pointing to God, making sure that his plans and his ways would always have their way on this earth. God was always pointing to God. This new creation was always pointing to the way creation was meant to be. When we reflect back and we look back at these stories of where did we come from and what were we doing, God's intention was always pointing to the new creation, to the new life, the way that God originally designed life to be. And so in this, we have God and he's pointing to Jesus. And remember Jesus, he came and he sat down at a table. And he got so personal with you. He got so close and he got so personal. And God from the beginning, right? And you can think about creation and you're like, God, he was so big and he had all these ideas. And why did he need to have me? And he said, because I choose you. You think of all these beautiful creations and all that there is in the world, and he's like, but I choose you. And it's the most beautiful, lovely thing about the Lord's Supper, about Maundy Thursday, because it's this tangible way that shows up, and we sit at the meal, and God says, and I choose who? You. Because this is who he sets his first meal down with. And it says this, Jesus and the doubter sat down together. Jesus and the liar sat down together. Jesus and the thief sat down together. Jesus and the poor sat down together. Jesus and the betrayer sat down together. This is everyone that was gathered around his table. Every single person is welcome at God's table. Not before anything special happens. He says, come as you are, exactly for who you are. And you are welcomed at my table. Isn't that just the most upside down way of power that was supposed to be happening in the world? In Luke, he writes a lot about all these other tables that Jesus sits at. And Jesus, he sat at a lot of the Pharisees' table, at the people who they had everything going on right in their life, but there were still things that under the table, there were still things going on. that all people are welcome at the table. It was a very important message that God had. Because remember, in the Passover, all people were welcome to the security and the safety of the Passover. All people are welcome to the deliverance and the safety in the Lord's table. All kids are my kids, God said. Because I choose you. And when I started thinking about this Monday, Thursday service, that's what got me so excited. To talk about the tangible grace that Monday, Thursday provides for us. Tangible grace. What is tangible? It's something that's touchable. It's something concrete. It's something very visible that sometimes it can feel like our God is very invisible in our life. Where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you, God? And you get to show up at this table. And he says, I'm right here. I always have been. Remember the scrapbook? I always have been, and I always will be. And what is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. What's that mean? Grace is I choose you because I choose you. It says I love you because I love you. It is a tangible way all God's kids come forward and remember God chose me because he chose me. It's all the way God's kids come forward as one, like Pete said, and it's in community. It's in a group of people. All God's kids come together to say, he loves me because he loves me. Amen. Meals, they have this really beautiful significance. And it's crazy to think that God is just so creative and wise and such a party planner, right? Like thousands of years ago, he set up this idea of the Passover to then thousands of years later have this new life come. Meals, they have a really significant impact on our life and specifically in the gospel. Because we look back and we see, where did the very first meal come from? When did we first learn about a meal or food in the Bible? We go back to Genesis. And we look in Genesis and it says they took some of the fruit and they ate it. And when they ate it, it says their eyes were opened. But they suddenly felt shame. God's family was broken in a meal. In a bite. Not God's kids, they suddenly felt shame. That wasn't the way God made the world. That wasn't what God intended for you to get to experience. And then we flip through the scrapbook and we learn more about the meals and the way that they showed up in the life, and we move a little bit ahead and we look to our book of Luke. And we read about the first meal that happened after the resurrection. Lord's Supper, it was the last meal, right? The Last Supper was what happened before the death happened. And he said, all God's kids are welcomed at my table. He set the scene right there and then. And he dies. And he resurrects into new life, into new creation, into the new way that the world is supposed to look. And he encounters these people. And it says, and they sat down to eat. And he took some bread and he blessed it and he broke it to them. And you're like, wait a minute. Aren't I supposed to remember something when this happens? Aren't I supposed to experience something when that happens? And it says this in the book of Luke. And suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. God's plan was redeemed. God's plan was restored the way we were supposed to get to live life, which is free from slavery and free from darkness and free from bondage, was made right in the world. From the beginning, the God who said, I am setting all things right. Nothing can stop God's grace. In the next slide here, it says, God's grace cannot be stopped. Do you know that? God choosing you because he chooses you cannot be stopped. God loving you because he loves you cannot be stopped. This is surely something to remember. And the thing about the Passover was it was this delivery of a certain set of people, it felt like, right? And it was in the past, and it was something that he didn't. And once a year, we're going to gather, and we're going to remember how good this love is. And no, when Jesus comes and he gives us this Lord's Supper, he says, remember this often. All people, remember this often. And we ask why. And we go back to thinking about the Jewish Passover, and the way that the Passover meal would end is they end in a Hallel. Let's join me in saying that. Everyone say Hallel. Sounds a lot like this is the word Hallelujah. The meal had ended in this great Hallelujah. And it's noted that one of the last Hallelujahs that Jesus gave at the Last Supper was, give thanks to the God, Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. So tonight, as you're gathered here to have this experience, to not just read about who Jesus is, to not just look at the pictures of who Jesus is, but to come and be near and to draw near to the experience that Jesus broke the bread and he said, it's for you. All of God's kids are welcome at this table. And the last slide here, I invite you to come, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's something to witness. It's something to be a testimony to. It's something to take part in. Come and take part. Get excited about just how good, about just how loving our God is. And so as we start, as we go into communion, there's these words, and we use the same words that Jesus said, and it's the words of institution. He instituted it into the world. He said, this is the way. And it's then that he picked up the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he gave it to all to eat, saying, this, eat this, is my body given for you. And again, he picked up the cup and after he blessed it and gave thanks, he gave it to all to drink. And he said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood that was shed and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Tonight, we are so excited that we get to have more of God's kids coming forward to receive your meal for the very first time. This is so fun. It is so holy. It is so good to come in forward and to taste and see just how good Jesus is. And I so pray that there is an excited understanding of just how much this will change your life forever. Amen.